Good morning. We have more seats over here. There's more seats over here in the front. Come on down. You're the next contestant. It's good to see you this morning. I'm so glad to see you. We're going to be talking about some good stuff today. Just to kind of finish up a thought that I didn't finish last week, if you'll just bear with me for a moment. If you were here last week and if you weren't here last week, well, then you have to go listen to it online. But last week, I was in a thought and I did not finish it. And I was talking about just how when we pass away, that one day, and this talks about this in Revelation, that the name of God is going to be written on our foreheads in heaven. That's something that we know is going to happen. There's a lot of things we don't know about. That is definitely one of the things that we're going to know about. And part of me talking about that last week was for just us to understand that just the ultimate of our life is for us to get to this place where we are giving God glory to the point that literally His name is written on our head. And that one day that will be it. And that will be the point in time where we become holy like He is. And just kind of furthering the whole thought that we are constantly trying to become more like God. And so just to kind of throw that out there, I wanted to finish that thought with you. And it was one of those things that I beat up on myself the rest of the day for not finishing with you. And so I hope that's okay that I'm throwing it out now. And some of you are going, I don't even remember him talking about that. And that's okay. You can listen to it on the internet. Everybody doing okay this morning? Yeah. Everybody good? Good. No, that's okay. You can go with that. We can go with that. It's good to be here this morning. I want to have a word of prayer with us this morning, and then we're going to hit this pretty hard here, okay? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for allowing us to get to be here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for letting us know who you are and, God, what that means to us. God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for allowing us just to have an amazing time of worshiping together this morning already. And God, I just pray, Lord, that we'd be able to continue to do that through your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Anybody in here hate anything? Hey, hate is a strong word. Do you hate anything? I mean, is there something that you hate? Some of you are like thinking about in-laws or something right now. Hold on. Let's don't get our hearts going in the wrong direction. Hate is in like, you know, I tell you something I hate. I hate, capital H, I hate it. Oh, it's terrible. Mustard. I hate mustard. Now some of you cannot identify with this because obviously your taste buds aren't functioning right. And you like it. And I don't, and I don't like it, and not only do I not like it, I hate it. It is to the point that, like, if I order a hamburger and I say, please put ketchup only because that's the way God intended it, and they put mustard on it, it has ruined the hamburger. The hamburger is out the window, in the trash, whatever, it's trash. There's no saving it. I can try to napkin that sucker, and it's just not going to work out. And you know what I'm talking about. Unless it's a really greasy one, and then maybe the mustard's just kind of sliding right off of it. And I think you can get some of those just down the street here. Hate is such a strong word. And it's one of those words that, you know, man, I've got to point this out. We've got like this huge crew of people sitting back there on the bleachers. Everybody turn around and just wave to all those people that are sitting back there instead of up here on these seats that we have. Thank you guys for being here on the bleachers. We start at 10:24, by the way. But no, seriously, you know, hate is such a strong word that it's one of those things that we try not to use the word hate. I know that, and I'm very aware that, you know, hate is not a good thing. Just, oh, I hate this and I hate that, and I hate him and I hate her. You know, we don't want to use those kind of words, you know, a whole lot. But I want to throw a question out to you. I threw a question out to you several weeks ago, and I'm going to pose that again in just a minute. But I want to throw this question out at you, does God hate anything? I don't want you to answer. I just want you to kind of think about it for a minute. Does God hate anything? Do we find Him hating? And the truth is that there is something that God hates. There's something that He absolutely despises. In fact, I just want to jump right in, if this is cool with you. I want to jump right into this passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs. And it says, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, and we've got a little bit different translation here, so bear with us this morning, because we changed programs on the computer on the way we use this stuff, and it doesn't have the Bible stuff in it. So, but anyway, chapter 6, verse 16, check this out. It says, There are six things that the Lord hates. Oh my gosh, you better write these down. This is serious. And it says seven that are detestable to him. Verse 17, it says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Those are things that God hates. Now, to be real honest with you, I just pulled this passage of Scripture out, but there are several passages of Scripture that if you go back and if you study through Scripture, you will find other places, other times where God is talking about things that He hates, but they all point into one direction. They all point into this one thing, and it's this thing that we all know like the back of our hand. It is like an old friend that comes to visit us and sometimes stays too long. His name is sin. God hates sin. We've been talking about God's holiness and how God's holiness plays out into our world and into our lives, and even more importantly, how it plays out for Him. And I think for so many of us, we've talked about this last couple weeks, you know, we just want to know how it applies to us. But the truth is that even just as important, and maybe even more important than how it applies to us, is how does it apply to God? How does God apply to Himself? You know, I threw out and posed this here in the last couple weeks, this thought and this idea that's very true, and it's all over Scripture, and Scripture just bleeds this, is that God is first and foremost about Himself. He's about bringing Himself glory. He's going to put Himself first every single time. I was at our home team this past week. We had some great conversation about this. And one of the people that we were talking about this, you know, they were just talking about how, you know, that their God, you know, is just a loving God. And that's just it. And that's all He really wants to think about Him as. And we were kind of kidding around about that. And if you've seen Talladega Nights, then you've seen them praying to the different types of God around the dinner table and dear baby Jesus, you know, and all that stuff. Kind of, sort of, not really the same thing. But anyway, we were sitting around and we were talking about all that. And we're talking about how that we get in our minds that we like to think of God being just one thing and not all of the things that He really is. And yes, God is love. But God is holy. And you see, God is not just holy, but He's separate. And He's perfect in a way that we could never understand, and in a way that we will try to take our language and apply to it when, as I said last week, holy is kind of the end of language when it comes to us trying to even go there with God. And so for us, we find ourselves trying to make something of this and figure this out. And why is God all about Himself? Let me just kind of throw this out there. Let me just kind of say, you know, if God is perfect, if he is it, if He is the one, if He is the most important in the universe, and God is not about Himself, if God does not put Him first, then how in the world would we ever know that He is holy? You see, He sets the example for us in understanding that it is all about Him. You say, Chris, I'm getting this. I've got this. I don't know that we all do. It's such a huge thought. It's such a huge thing for us to wrap our minds around, because we've constantly been told you're special and you're the most important and all those things, and yes, you're special and yes, you're loved and all those things, but God is more important. He is most important. And He sets that groundwork in how He created the earth and the universe and all of nature to glorify Himself. God's holiness is something that's so huge that the nature of His holiness does so many things. We've talked about a few of those, but one of the things that we're going to talk about today, and the main thing that we're going to talk about today, is that because He is holy, He hates sin. You say, well, Chris, why does God have to hate something? Why can't he just not hate anything? Why can't that just not be the case? And the truth be known is that God has to hate sin by his very nature because of this. You see, sin is the exact opposite of God. It is the exact opposite of being set apart in a perfection that we will try to understand in a way that we probably never will, but we're going to use words to give it a shot. And so for God to even be chilling with sin is way out of the picture. It can't happen. His holiness dictates that he has to hate sin. You're going, okay, Chris, thanks for this. I think I've got some sin. Not too happy about the thought that God's going to hate it, because now I'm afraid he's going to hate on me. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's not the way it works. God's holiness causes him to hate sin. But the nature of that is really no different than if you or I were to try to fly upon our own power. By my very nature, I cannot fly. I am not Superman. I don't even have a batarang with a rope attached to it. I can't fly. I just can't do it. Now, I can get in a plane and fly. Yeah, I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking about by my nature, me by myself, I cannot walk outside in the parking lot and just fly over to one of those hamburger places that puts mustard on it when you ask for ketchup only. I can't do it. God can't help but to hate sin. We see this throughout all of Scripture. In fact, several weeks ago, we talked about a passage of Scripture out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. We've talked about Isaiah 6, we talked about Isaiah 1, we actually talked about another passage in there. But Isaiah 1, and in Isaiah 1, several weeks ago, we studied this passage of Scripture where we see God finding himself hating something that's happening. And the reason he's hating it is because it's a sin. All of the things that you saw listed in that passage of Proverbs, all sin. God hates them because they're sin. He doesn't hate them because somebody loves them. He hates them because they're sin. They're just wrong. And so he can't help but hate them because they're the opposite of him. And so, you know, to kind of go with that passage of Scripture this morning, I was reminded of this passage of Scripture Thursday night, because Thursday night I went to a concert. And it was like a history-making night, this concert that I went to. It was the first time in years that these guys had played together. And at the same time, there was a couple other things that were kind of making this historical. And it was just, I mean, an arena full of 40,000 people sold out. And I'm in this place. And at a moment during this concert, at the very end, they've gone off once, you know, and they've come back and done an encore, and then they've gone off again, and the people are still, you know, cheering, oh, yeah, you know, you got to come back. We love you. Want to have your children, you know, and all that stuff, you know. And so sure enough, they come back, but it's like all dark, and you don't know that they've come back, but all of a sudden you hear something like this. Don't stop it. Don't stop it. Because here's what... That's right. Put the lights out. And here's what happens. I mean, like, I'm up in the nosebleed section. I mean, I'm looking way down. I can't even see these guys with my eyesight so bad. I can't hardly hear what they're saying. But I know this. I know this like the back of my hand. And when this is going on for this moment in time, I'm just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this is incredible. This is so amazing. And like everybody in the place, like everybody that could stand, is standing straight up, and they're like fingers in the air, or they're, you know, rock fingers, whatever the deal. I mean, they're just going nuts. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing moment. You cut it. And it was a moment. It was a moment of worship. And in that moment of worship, where everybody, all 40,000 people in this place, were all about this one song and this one band for this one moment, I thought to myself, They've got us beat on that one. Because we don't always worship God like He really is it, do we? And our lives don't look that way a lot of times. And you see, our worship, not just what we do in this place, not just what we do on Sunday mornings, but how we live our life throughout the week, how we talk about other individuals, how we deal with people that absolutely drive us crazy. In those moments in time, our worship should forego something better than anybody in that stadium could have provided Van Halen on Thursday night. You see, I understand that we may get principles at times, but are getting them and are applying them for real to our lives, not just showing up at church, but like really doing it, are two different things. I think our worship in a worship service is very telling of our relationship with the Lord and the rest of our life. Many of us have got ourselves sold on, you know, I'm doing fine and I'm doing good, and you know, I've even done a little Bible study this week. I hope you have. That's great. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to let God just peek into your heart and say, God, I want you to be honest with me, and I want you to help me be honest with myself. Where is my sin? Because in that book of Isaiah chapter 1 that we read several weeks ago, the main thing that's happening in that passage of Scripture is that we should be about true worship. That we should really be about God. We shouldn't say, oh, I'm a Christian and I belong to this church and I work over here and they're a Christian company and, you know, and I do this and I support this and, you know, that's a Christian deal. I think we've commercialized so much Christian junk to the point that we've got ourselves just going, oh, hey, you know, I'm involved in all the Christian junk I can buy at the checkout counter at Lifeway. And I'm just telling you, we're missing it. Because the end of that passage of Scripture, and I read it weeks ago, and I'll say it again here, is all about us going out and caring and loving for people. I'm talking about, that passage is talking about the widows and the orphans and those in need. You see, that's what we should be about. And instead of spending $5 on testaments at that counter checkout thing, man, we could do something with $5 toward the kingdom of God that could do amazing things. So sin, something that God hates. And I can't explain to you why, but I just really felt led that this morning that we needed to bring this back up about the worship thing. Because it's one of those things that I think it just creeps in on us, and we just don't even realize that Satan is kind of getting a lock in on us at times, where we don't even realize that Satan's really kind of gotten a grip, a hold of who we are. And we don't want that, but it happens, and then we don't realize it happens, and then we just kind of want to sell ourselves on it's not happening. And it is. Because it's a constant fight and a constant battle that Satan wants our worship. And God wants us to glorify Him. I asked a question 3 weeks ago. And the question was this: what limits God? Is there something that limits God? I didn't answer the question, by the way, that week. Anybody remember this? Is there something that limits God? There is something that limits God. You know, everybody talks about, you know, oh, it must be that He can create a rock so big that He can't lift it, right? That's the one we've heard. We got that in an email just yesterday. No, that's not it. What limits God is God's holiness. And you see, God's holiness keeps Him from being able to sin. His moral perfection is something that will not allow him 100% of the time to be able to sin. And something that's hard for us to grasp and it's hard for us to understand, and the reason so is because we've never had moral perfection. We've never been there with that. But for us to get that this morning, and first for us to understand that his holiness will not allow him to be with sin, is a big thing. I used to illustrate, and I think there's still a lot of truth to this, our relationship with God being like a big, huge, honking pipe. And we've got this pipe, and this thing is like, it's running straight to God. I mean, like, he's put it there, it's ready to go. It's not even like average size water line. I'm talking like, you know, he just went out and he bought the big stuff and he poured it full of concrete and it's ready to go and it's just waiting on us. And we got this big pipe and it goes between us and God. But what winds up happening is that we wind up falling into sin. And as we do so, that stuff gets stuffed up into the pipe to the point that the pipe starts getting clogged. And our relationship with God begins to be cut off. You see, when we fall into sin, when we sin, we are breaking the heart of God. And if you'll notice something about yourself, and that's this, as you grow closer to God, as you become more like God, you will find just automatically in your heart that your heart begins to break for the sin in your own life, for the sin in the life of people around you that you care very much about. You can't even help it. It's not a judgmental thing. It's not a, you know, oh, I can't believe that person is doing that. It's a, my heart is breaking for you right now because you have fallen into sin. For so many of us, the pipe is clogged, and it's all because of this one thing called sin. And the question remains this. If we have sin and God doesn't hang out with sin, then how in the world do we ever get to hang out with God? Because there's none of us here that haven't sinned. There's none of us here that are not going to sin probably before the day is over. But how in the world can we have a relationship with God? He's holy. He's perfect, and we're not. So we obviously can't go be with him. What is the deal? It's a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians. Just one verse. It says in verse 21, it says, God made him, talking about Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And some other translations will say, to be the sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And you're going, what does that mean? This is what that means. It means God sent Christ to stand in the place of my sin and of your sin, so that we could be holy in the eyes of God. You see, when Christ died on the cross for us, when that sacrifice was made, at that moment in time, one of the most amazing things that has ever happened. And it was this. It was his blood being shed for our sin, and it literally covers our sin. And in this passage of Scripture, as we are reading this and as we are seeing this, we are seeing that Christ was that sin offering, so that in God's eyes we could be holy. We've talked about holy a lot in the last couple of weeks. And I know it's such a big word, and we've talked about it being such a huge deal, and it's so hard for us to think, but I want to just share one more thing with you before we shut holy down during this series, and that's this, is that holy works for God like a superpower. And I love this about God, because he's got this crazy thing called holiness that we're striving for. And because of his holiness, he can't hang out with sin. He can't have sin. He can't be with sin. But then at the same time, because of his holiness and because of his love for us, he can have a relationship with us through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, it's kryptonite, and then it's not. You see, it limits God, but it doesn't keep him from doing something that he intended from the very beginning to do, and that was to have a relationship with us. He didn't create us as robots. He didn't set us out and just say, hey, you all just love me, and that's the way it's going to be. No, he set us out, and he said, here's the deal. There's a certain amount of something called free will here, and at some point in this, you've got to choose me or not. This morning, you may be in that spot. You may be thinking, you know, I've been going to church on and off. Maybe you've gone all your life. I don't know. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, I've never prayed and just said, Christ, come into my heart. Save me and make me new. I would love the opportunity to get to do that with you this morning. I would love the opportunity to just get to talk about that and what that means. And I don't care how long you've gone to church, and I don't care if you don't know jack squat about it. It's one of those things that I can't talk you into doing it, and nobody can do it for you. Your granny can't do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. Only you. This is between you and God. And I'm just going to tell you that in this moment in time, that if you're feeling that and you're going, you know what, I'm really feeling something kind of hitting me here, it's not because I'm talking about it. It's because God is moving in your heart and saying, come on. Come on, don't wait on this. Don't sit and go home and say, I'll do this some other time. No. That's him. I can't do that. I can't conjure that up. And I just want to encourage you this morning that if God is speaking to your heart about knowing him this morning, then I would challenge you, just encourage you. I'd love to just get to talk to you about it. To do that today. Don't leave here today. And in just a minute, I'm gonna just walk out the door over here. And if you want to slip out the door and just come and talk for a few minutes, I would love to get to do that with you. Holiness is a tricky thing. And even trickier comes just even the thought that not only is God holy, but that he can make things holy. And so this is what I want to leave you with this morning. Because I in this series, I don't want to give you all the answers. I want to leave you with some stuff that you can take and you can kind of spend some time on yourself studying Scripture. And this is what it is today. And I challenge you to study this between now and next Sunday. And here it is. Can God make you holy? Can he make other things holy? And if so, why? And I want you just to study on that over this week and just think about that over this next week. Again, this morning, if you're here this morning and you'd like to talk about coming to know Christ, I'm going to slip out that door here in just a minute. I'd love to get to talk with you about that. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for who you are. And God, Lord, we don't often put together that you might hate something. But God, your hatred for sin is something that you can't even help. It's something that by your nature alone is something that you're going to do. And God, the truth be known is not only do you hate it, but you hated it so bad that you were willing to send your son to die for us. And to even answer the question of why does sin even exist? And God, this morning we know that sin exists even in this world, because you needed a way to show us how much you love us and how much you care for us, that you are that loving God, but that you're also a just God. So Father, this morning, if there's anybody here, God, that has just never come to know you, they've never prayed to receive you as their Savior, God, I pray, Lord, that they would do that this morning, God, that they'd just be willing to slip out and just talk for just a few minutes. God, I thank you so much for allowing us to get to come and to worship you, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, God, that we could come away in an understanding of knowing that your heart is broken over the sin in our lives. And God, that we would strive to overcome that sin. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.